Welcome back, boo. You already know I got an awesome show in store for you. Because today's topic, we adding a little more juice and a little more flavor to the mix. Because we discussing all things polyamory. So go on and tune in and grab your boobs. Let's get to it. This episode is brought to you by House of Boobs, where we sell everything boob except your bra. Your one-stop shop for all your boob accessories. Be sure to visit us at www.houseofboobs.com. That's HAUSOFBOOBS.com. Yo, we are back in this thing. Episode 7. This is our 3-part mini-series finale. Not the season finale, just the mini 3-part series finale, because we coming out with a banger. What? Boom. And if this is your first time listening, you are tuning in with the one and only boob blogger babe, formerly known as J. Marie. And I got my sissy with me. What up, KB?
Hell, that's me, baby.
And we thank you for tuning in with us, because this is Boobtionary.
Let's get it started.
Yeah, yay, man. Boob. Oh, right? Now, you know, we got to start off the week with vagina events. And I've had a magnificent, wonderful weekend. I've discovered new things in my sex life that I am happy to report back to the people. Happy to report back to Boob Nation that I have now learned to trust my partner with my pussy. Like, that is huge for me, because I don't think I've ever done that with a penis owner. Put it that way.
I was about to say,
I've never done that with a penis owner. Like, so my partner would officially be the first in that. Like, now granted, I've had sex. Don't get me wrong. Like, we've been throwing that thing. No, ain't wrong. However, I'm just saying, like, to fully just say, okay, I know you got it. I know you know what you're doing. You know what I mean? I know the end result is going to be pleasure. So just do whatever. Like, I've never done that before. And so that feels great to be with somebody that I know I can do that with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my attitude just goes, like, through the roof. Like, I just be so confident. I just be, like, in my own little bubble throughout the day. I be reminiscing about it. Like, yes, this is what it's all about. And this is all I be trying to tell the people. Get to this point every day. Okay,
so
it is, for real. Like, for real. All jokes aside, it's lit as fuck. I'm for real.
Talk your shit, boo.
Like,
dead ass. Like, I'm so happy for you, sis. Like, dead ass. That's what's up. Because that means a lot for anyone to trust their partner with their happiness or with their anything. Once I give you these precious little treasures, motherfucker, hold on tight to him.
Word, though, because, like, you know what I mean? Like, y'all know, if you follow my page or if you follow the Boobtionary page on Instagram, you know I'm all for self-pleasure. Like, I'm all for playing with yourself, masturbating, because it's the key to having a great sex life. Like, if I want to try something, I'm always going to try it on me first. But, you know, there comes a time where you're going to have to, you know, engage and indulge with other people. And so to find somebody that matches that energy and that you can honestly just say, hey, you know, I know you got it, it's a wonderful thing. Like, I want everybody to be that way and feel that way. You know, so that's what we're doing. That's why we're here. That's why we're coaching. I can't say you.
But no, that's real. That's dope. Like,
yeah,
hello. Like, I have no words. And this, surprisingly, I have no words. Like, that's
what?
Dope. You know?
Right.
I feel like I'm about to start repeating myself and shit. But nah, I really enjoy hearing that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, to reach that level, to reach that point,
is a pinnacle of your fucking sexual awakening, period.
Yes.
Like, yes, I can please myself, but when I can, when I don't have to, when I can allow my partner to please me in the way that I know I can please myself, but then they take it to a whole different level. Come on, bro.
Exactly.
And you know those little memes that circle around and these people talking about the more she trusts you, the nastier she is? Bitch, that shouldn't be a lie.
That's 100% the truth. Like, it's not a lie. Like, if I 100% trust you to lead whatever piece of me I got in me, you know what I mean? Like, yo, you getting everything. Everything. And, like, it's such a big difference when you don't, like, between having somebody that you trust and being with somebody that's just, like, you know, giving you just bits and pieces here and there. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's so different.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
The sex is so amazing when you fully trust that person.
When you can, for real, because my thing is, what people don't understand is when you can honestly completely let go, it's so fucking amazing. And it's almost like, and some people may find this more, I don't want to say prominent, more, but easier, or the dialogue is easier in the BDSM world. Not going to lie to you, because if I'm a sub, if I'm submissive, and I have my dom, then my dom, I'm supposed to trust them with anything. So it's like, there's a trusting thing there, period. So my dom is supposed to trust that if I have, like, we have a safe word. If I say that, if I say that safe word, I have to trust that he's going to stop, or they're going to stop.
Hell yeah.
No matter what. Like, they can be mid-throw, mid-hit, mid-swing, whatever. If I say it, well, nigga, stop. What's up?
Right.
You got to trust me. And then just like we've heard in our previous pods, like, when you have someone, like, when you're in that vulnerable state and someone's protective over you, that's a different level of trust. Like, you do that a lot in the BDSM world because, again, I'm not going to sub for just anybody. I'm not going to say, hey,
that vetting process is something serious. It could take a very long time. Like, y'all, we talking about it today. We getting into it.
Yeah, because y'all got...
Let them know.
Be letting everybody out here. Stop calling everybody daddy. They not. Mm-hmm. Stop calling everybody your goddamn kitten. They're not. Like, they're supposed to be a different level, because even me as a sub, my dom is supposed to trust me as a sub that I'm going to, one, let them know how I'm feeling, and I'm not going to lie about it. I'm going to also tell them or allow them to do whatever, but I'm giving them the trust that I trust them. Like, like, there's a give and take to that dynamic. It's not just all give and it's not all take, people. It is a constantly going communication thing. But let me hop off my bag, girl. Let me get out my bag, y'all.
Well, I mean, you do got to update us on your week, you know, because, I mean, what's going on, sissy? We've been missing in action. Yeah. You gotta update the people.
I'm sorry, you guys. I still love you all. You're great. I practice what I preach, period. So if you need that mental, if you need that mental break, if you need to step away, you need to say, nah, not today. You got to feel comfortable with it, period. I definitely was going through some shit. But the beautiful thing about this journey that I'm on is that you're not always going to have those high days, if you will. Absolutely. But when you have those low days, being able to get out of it, being able to identify what brought me this far down. Like, hold up. What happened? And then maybe it's things that's out of your control. Like, I was really, really missing a loved one that I lost. And that was somebody, that was my first love, if you will. So that's a big loss for me. That's something I'm probably going to deal with for quite some time, like the rest of my life.
You know? Absolutely. You're going to have to cope with that every day.
Every fucking day.
Every day.
Every major milestone in my life from here on out is going to be different. You know what I'm saying? But let me not, let the tears not come.
Well, I mean, we are glad that you took that time for self, because we do, like I said, I'm all for self. And your mental matters. You're important. Oh, yeah. So you needed to recruit, regain composure, you know, get back to you.
Yeah. And thank you, boo. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if I would have hit this kind of low a couple of years ago, I don't think y'all would be hearing from me right now. Not on some scary jump off a bridge type shit, but just I don't think I had the tools yet to pull myself out of it like that. Like, not pull myself out and bounce back and still function and still keep going and mean it. Not fraud, not fraudulent, not faking it, but really, real mean it.
Like do the work and put in the work for healing. Exactly. Yeah, I get you.
Exactly.
Because sometimes, the healing process is a booger.
Yeah.
Don't be wanting to go through it because it hurt, but it's needed.
Yeah, now that's real. That's real.
For real. But like I said, I'm glad to see you through it. And I know the Boob Nation's glad to see you through it. But, you know, we live, we learn.
And then we get
one piece. Yes, yes.
Look, oh yeah.
That part.
Watched way too much TV when I was younger.
Well, since we in good spirits and we, you know, on a good way, we're going to go ahead and jump into this good boob news report.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Because we got to give Kim Janey her flowers while she's still living. Because not only is she the first woman mayor of the city of Boston, Massachusetts, she's also the first African-American, period, to hold office. Okay? So she is the first African-American and the first woman. She says, screw you. I'm breaking both barriers. I'm in this thing.
Damn time. That's what's up.
Right, though. Now, let's not get it twisted. It's an interim position because the current mayor was elected to be President Biden's labor secretary. It was out, right? It was like, Chuck, the deuces, I'm out. Because I would have been the same. Wait, president called me and said, I got a job. I'm out. Two fingers to the wind. But, you know, somebody got to take the spot. However, they chose Kim. So she stepped up to the plate. Now, let's be clear, she ain't new to this. She's been putting in major work in the community, especially the Black community within that area. So it's no surprise that even as an interim mayor, they chose her for that position. And she has not officially declared if she'll run in the fall. However, the people want her to. I know, like she's blocking blessings right now. I mean, you know, it's already there. Like you already in that position. All you got to do is say you want it. I mean, I'm just saying. Sometimes it's that simple.
That's it. It could all be so simple.
It could all be so simple, but you rather make it hard. Speaking of making it hard, though. Talk about working 19 years in your side hustle from waitress to CEO.
Damn.
19 years, bruh. Long time be working a side hustle, like a side hustle, not even on your main stream of income.
But some dedication for your ass. That's that.
It is.
Drop that knowledge on them, girl.
But we got to give our shouts out to Greta Jackson because she did it. She is the first woman to own an Outback Steakhouse in Detroit, Michigan.
That's crazy. You know I'm about to get stalked in them, right?
Listen, I'm about to take a trip to Detroit just to eat there, bro. Because I support the people.
Think about it. Because like I fuck with Outback already. But I promise you, bet you she got some banging ass seasoning up in there.
She got grandma in the kitchen cooking.
Bo, I'm telling you, that Outback Steakhouse seasoning is like 10 times better at her spot.
Or either you know she knows somebody who probably making their own seasoning that's 10 times better than what they're selling in the store. And she gonna stock it up in the back of the kitchen. Yo, definitely gotta check Greta out. Now, if you happen to be in the area or you happen to be in the Detroit, Michigan zip code of 48066. Head on over to 28850 Brady Yacht Avenue, okay?
Oh, God.
I don't know how that's pronounced. I don't know if that was correct. It is spelled G-R-A-C-I-O-T Avenue, okay?
Gotcha.
And hit on Greta up. And donate some ducats to her new Outback Steakhouse in Tallahassee.
And that's my favorite zip code, too.
Shut up. You don't even know what that said. 48066.
Bro, don't add like that. You know that's my favorite
zip code. You know what that's it, bro.
That's my passcode and everything.
I'm lying, Craig.
Well, why do you be lying for no reason? Just all right.
Oh, you know what though? Speaking of lies. Let's jump into this feminine favor real quick. Because some of y'all be lying about these musty armpits and they really be your titties. Like some of y'all be feeding these lies to us now. Let's talk about it.
But I don't think your titties should be musty, sis.
Like, listen, it's sweat. You know, skin, rubbing and touching, it's friction.
But see, so hear me out. Again, I have boobs. I'm a female. I sweat. You know what I'm saying? And I work out and everything. So
that's true.
It'd be a little moisture right there. It's a little different. Sometimes you smell and it's not the body butter that you put on. It's not the lotion. It's not the oil you put on.
It is not Daisy by Marc Jacobs.
You get on my neck.
It is not.
It's not at all. However, I do not think, and I do not know the correct way to say this, but I don't feel like your titties should be smelling like your armpits. I just don't feel like those are the same.
But it can happen, though.
Look, how? How?
Listen, okay. How? Once upon a time, when my titties was big, like they're small now. However, they were a little bigger. Anyways, I mean, I did lose weight. And we know when you lose weight, your titties go down just a little bit. So they were a little bigger at this time. But, like, my under boob used to sweat a lot. Now, that's a really bad indication that you're wearing the wrong bra size. That's, like, a red flag altogether. However, at the time, I didn't know that. I was just going around with musty titties. And I was just like, yo, I know it's not my arms. Because I know I put on deodorant and I can smell my underarms. It's not my arms. It was legit. My under titty. So I started doing was putting deodorant under my boob. Like just one little swift movement under each side. And just like my underarms, it worked. I ain't had that problem no more.
So you put deodorant on?
I did. I mean, you could do powder if you want to be, you know,
hey, don't nobody want to
sugar donut on your chest.
Nobody want no sugar donuts, sis.
I mean, some people like a little sugar on their food. But I mean, it works though. It does mask. I can't say mask the smell. It does capture the moisture so that you don't sweat profusely under your boob. So definitely just lift and swipe one good time. You ain't got to put all that deodorant down your torso. None of that. No, just swipe one good time and you'll be good to go. Okay? One good deodorant under each boob. And I promise you, you're going to be good to go. Okay? All right, y'all.
I hear you, child. All I'm saying is, don't nobody want the goddamn powder. For real. I don't even know how they used to do that back in the day. Did they just run and take a shower real quick? Because if I'm sucking on your titty, shawty, and I'm playing with them things, and I come back, and it look like I just stuck my hand in a bag of powdered donuts, I'm going to be turned off. The fuck is this?
For real. Okay, so do you know what? I did mess with this girl one time, and she had, like, gritty titties. Like, you know how, okay, all right, case in point, it was almost like somebody sprinkled sand across her boobs. So when you touched them, it was just a little graze of grit. And now it's just like, no, I'm not putting that in my mouth, bro. Like, what the hell wrong with you? Now, I don't know if it was from her deodorant. I don't know if it was from her clothes. Stick around to try to find out. I just was like, nah.
What if she was an X-Men and she really had like sandies, like she was Mrs. Sand or something?
Listen, that day it won't work, honey.
Let me stop talking shit, y'all. But look, but that's nasty. Okay,
I'm sorry. No, we are not bashing sandies.
Oh, no. It's the difference from laughing at some shit and just bashing.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I'm not bashing anybody.
We're not bashing.
However, I'm gonna put you in my mouth.
Dang on with. Exactly. Hence why you don't want no damn powdered sugar. Stop telling folks to put powder on their damn breasts. Ain't nobody doing their shit.
But I mean, I'd rather see powder flakes or a cloud of dust trailing behind you than to smell you before I get to you.
Don't you worry about it. Matter of fact, it depends. You know what? For me, and I mean this, and I don't give a fuck if y'all judge me. I kind of do. Y'all don't judge me. But look, depending on the situation, a little mustn't might be all right. Like, let's say we get done playing damn basketball or something like that, mm-hmm. and you come up off of it, and you got that little natural, little sweaty.
A natural musk?
Yeah.
Different than musk. Okay, that's doing everything.
So when you and that, appreciate it.
I'm just saying. Let me be clear. That must with the K is a little different than must with the T. Okay, I'm just saying. There's a difference in that there.
You're right. Okay, so maybe I'm thinking about something different.
Like that natural aura, that natural smell. Yeah, I'll be ready to go.
Fuck all that. Keep like a baby wipe or something in your purse. Do not goddamn. All right, get a honey pot, little wipe thing. Mm-hmm. Get you a little wipe. Carry like a little disposable wipes in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. Get the little, if you're not let's say you're not a purse holder or you're not one of those people walking around the back, nigga, you got a wallet. Get one of them little
you got a coin purse in your pocket, something.
Put something in there. I swear to God, do not listen to J. Marie. Not put goddamn
problems. I'm trying to tell y'all, do something, because if I smell you coming, I'ma walk the other way.
Now I'm about shit. My thing is, the bad part is I'm really bad at lying, y'all. And my face tell it all. If you run up on me,
yes,
you don't know it, Shawty. It is not gonna be a secret.
But really, that's exactly it. Like if you come up in my face and you smell, you're gonna see that you smell on my face. And I'm not gonna be able to hide that from you. So rather than to embarrass you like that, I'm gonna just walk away. That's the best thing for the both of us at that moment, okay? I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
No, I digress.
You are funny to me. You are
what
funny
you mean?
To me.
I mean, I swear to God,
if I see somebody with some goddamn body, look, I can't even go to the store and see powdered donuts now without cracking the fuck up.
I'm be weak. That's all I'm gonna say.
Mm-mm. I'm really mad at you for that because I'm not.
Yeah, but I'm for real. No lie. I have relatives that still wear powder in their boobs and under their boobs and bra today.
And I talk shit about them too. Why the fuck are you putting in them?
But listen, they don't stink. They don't stink though.
Nigga,
I get to them. Do what works for you.
Now, that's true. You're right on that
part. Do what works for you.
Don't be out here lying, folks, because some people still be sweating. That little baby powder that you put in between your titties is not... Jesus, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That little baby powder, it does not mask everything, how mm-hmm. everybody thinks it, like it does. It really don't. Think about it. You're sweating out the powder. It starts to get all clumpy and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now you just got, mm-hmm. like, clay. Now you got...
Mm-hmm. Rub it in. It'd be like deodorant, bitch.
I swear to God. You better go to the next topic right now. Don't you say shut up.
I mean, just rub it in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the shower late anyway. Hopefully.
Then I say don't talk about it.
Hopefully we don't have a hygiene issue. It's just a smell. Hold on.
See what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, all right. Let me go on to situations, relations, and situations for y'all. Give me in most trouble today. Ooh, moving on from the mustard titties. All right, relations and situations. So, our listener letter for today. All right, what name I'm gonna come up with today? Ooh, okay. So I'm looking at this book. So Gray. We just gonna go with Gray. Okay. Like 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. All right. So Gray wrote in and said, so I just got out of something very serious and I had the mindset of being free in these streets. I met someone who is really nice and I like them, but liking them forces me to face all my insecurities and things I don't like about myself and often think it will turn them away. How do I get past these things? I didn't know it was going to happen with this particular person or what's going to happen with this particular person, but I'm thinking about how to get past these things in the future for future relationships. Please help.
Okay. Woo. That's a doozy.
That one is long though, bro. I mean, to me though, the only way to get past insecurities, to be honest, is to do some self-healing because insecurities are a reflection of something we don't like within self. And so it's like that little tingle of jealousy in somebody else because we see what we want for ourselves in them. You know, is that, and then it can also be things you have not healed from in prior relationships.
There you go. Like that relationship PTSD shit is so real. I need people
to yes, absolutely. Like
that's a real thing. Matter of fact, motherfucker, to be honest, be all the way transparent, nigga, I'm still going through that. Like, like I'm a talker, right? I don't mind communicating, but it was at one point I was told so many times, damn, you talk a lot. Damn, we still talking? Damn, why we gotta talk about this? Why we gotta talk about that? Why you questioning? When really it wasn't me questioning them, it was just, hey, well, how are you feeling right now? What are you thinking about? Regular shit that you would do in a relationship, but because I stayed in this relationship and I kept hearing over and over again, you talk so much, you do this, you do that. Now when I talk to someone else, I'm like, yeah, my bad, I'm probably talking your ear off. And they're like, what?
Nah, you didn't.
Get your shit That's so different to me because now I'm like, you playing me?
But at the same time, that also means you need to spend more time with yourself because that other person should have never made you feel like you ever talk too much because you should have been confident enough in self to say, hey, no, I know I'm not talking too much. I'm just talking too much for you. So this ain't working out. You know what I mean? Sure. You have to reach that point within self and like for you, but you know, our letter from Gray, Gray ain't there yet. And Gray got to get to that point. So, you know, for you, Gray, what I'm going to advise you do or how I'm going to advise you get help is to seek it from within yourself. And what that means is spending more time doing what you like to do and really discovering things on you that you enjoy and that you like. You
know, and it's not even just like stuff that you want to do. Try different shit. Because sometimes the shit that you like to do, how can I put this? Because I don't
it's
want
just
it
to the normal. You're comfortable with it.
You're comfortable with that same thing. Because some people are comfortable with the chaos. So no, do something different. Go the fuck out. Go get some skates. Go learn how to skate. Go get a paintbrush. Go do something. Go do something a
but
little
do it different. With just you.
That's it.
Just you.
Don't ask your friends. Don't ask the new boo or the potential bae or whatever. Don't do none of that. Just go hang out with you. Matter of fact, take your ass to the movie. Take your ass to dinner. Like, you better put on a movie for Netflix and laugh out loud. Talk to the TV. Bitch, you better have fun with your fucking self. Like, I love hanging out with me. And now...
Yes, every single day.
Bro, what? Because at the end of the motherfucking hour, I need you niggas to know, no one's going to have your back how you will. Period.
No,
I
mean, never.
How you have. However, when you in the shower... I mean, okay. Some people still ask.
Shut up.
For the rest of us, you in there dolo 9 times out of 10, my nigga. You ain't hopping in the shower every day with your pot.
For real.
It's just you. And masturbate more. You know, that's my favorite. Like, masturbate more. Matter of fact, edge. Don't come. Treat just like...
That's a mastery. Just get to pleasuring you first. Cause man, you gotta master that. Like that takes a lot of concentration to be able to hold that shit in. Like, I ain't gonna lie to say.
Hey, but we gonna lie though, sis. I
almost need to hold a class on it.
Yeah, okay, you want me to? Because honestly, I mean, I'm with the shits, boo. I'm so serious. Like, I learned it, right? So at first, I didn't know what the fuck edging was. Like, if I'm masturbating, nigga, I have an end goal. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Right.
But I didn't understand it. But one time, it don't matter. The point is, I got to the point where I was edging. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, this is stupid. I'm about to come. Nope, no, I'm not. Right? So
right.
It was a thing, whatever. But when I finally got that orgasm,
it's very powerful.
When I say powerful, my nigga, matter of fact, you remember on Scary Movie when she shot that nigga up? I mean, when that nigga shot her up to death.
I cannot.
Baby.
I cannot.
Girl version.
Okay. Listen, you almost need the OnlyFans, that's you.
And I don't know if I thought about it, but you know. Okay.
Word though, but like for real though, all of this is to say a lot goes into self-work, and a lot of people don't want to put in the time for self-work because that doesn't require, or I mean not require, but that doesn't always bring out happy feelings.
And talk to somebody, not your friend.
Yes,
don't talk to your friends. Talk to somebody
that doesn't know the situation.
There you go. That's what I meant to say. But talk to somebody outside of the situation and outside of your circle. The reason I say that is because sometimes your mama's going to tell you some shit that you don't really want to hear. And even though, and not that you don't want to hear it, but you don't need to hear it. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not talking shit about nobody's mama because I'm a mama's girl. But sometimes your parents come from a different time than
they
you
do.
So when they're saying shit like, oh, well, you know how men are. No, the fuck I don't. Like, he's a person just like me. So why the fuck am I, like, caving?
And that's very toxic behavior.
That's very toxic. Like, what the fuck you mean? That's just how they are. So I'm going to be miserable my whole life, my nigga? No. Don't let anyone paint that narrative. Mm-hmm. Even when it comes to, like, whatever your insecurities are, sometimes some people don't understand and they'll sit there and say, well, you know, little Becky, you do. No, the fuck I don't. Do just do anything. Like, so talk to someone else. Talk to a professional.
Yes.
Absolutely. Even talk to a stranger. Like, talk to anybody, but have a real sounding board. And
yeah,
honestly,
if you have to, therapy is definitely there. Like, a lot of people don't realize that you really do need that outside source, and your circle can't provide you with all the answers. Yes, they know you, but that's exactly why they can't provide you with the answers, because they know you. You know what I mean? You need somebody that doesn't know you, that has to, you know, understand who you are from the outside looking in, so that they can give you real advice without that emotional connection or without that judgmental block up, because they don't know nothing about you.
Exactly, Chad.
You need that.
Yeah.
That's why you come see me.
Yes. Hey, let them know. I'm going to teach you how to play with yourself. We ain't going to talk about it. You know what I'm talking
about? Okay, just relax. Sit back. give me your right hand.
but listener and our letter and everything, honestly, the best way to deal with insecurities, because we all have them, even the most confident motherfucker has it, and that's number one. But two, although you like this person, if this person is meant to be somewhere in your chapter of life and is not right now, that's perfectly fine, my nigga. Like, if anything, let this infatuation or this admiration for this person push you more to heal up, because you don't want to link with anybody, excuse me, get with anyone, and you're not completely healed. So do everything, masturbate, chill with yourself, talk to somebody, woosah, meditate, go to fucking yoga, do whatever you have to do to completely heal. That way, if this person is still around, you can be the best version of yourself for them. You know what I'm saying? Or if they're not, if they don't stick around, hey, appreciate it. That little spark you gave me kept me going and pushed me to do something I wouldn't even have thought to do. So
exactly.
You came in my life for a reason. Thank you.
Yeah.
That bro over there who's ready for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. You have to, I'm with that.
That is absolutely right. And don't rush it. You know, if you are not ready and if you still have insecurities, you're not ready. I'm telling you, you're not. From the outside looking in, if you still have insecurities, you're not ready for a relationship. It's okay to date around. It's okay to, you know, sleep here, sleep there. Do what you got to do to get your nut.
Yeah.
However, I'm being for real. This is the perfect time to insert whole face. However, in that time, also mm-hmm. be healing you. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, don't be building relationships out of hurt.
Because you know what? Honestly, hurt.
Always end. Yeah.
They always end like that. But I mean, honestly, I feel like you have to have a balance because what you just said makes sense. Mm-hmm. But depending on that person and depending on their mental state and depending on what that insecurity is, mm-hmm. you might not need to lay with nobody. You might
that need to lay with someone too.
Because
that is
you're going to start making all these soul ties and everything else for no fucking reason. If you know good motherfucking well, your insecurity is you feel like once you give a nigga some pussy, he don't hit you up. Baby girl, then stop giving niggas.
Don't, pussy. Yeah. Like, yes, now that is very, very true. And that's a very good point to make. Now, only insert whole face if you're ready for that part. Like, if you're not ready for it, definitely don't play that game because all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure in the end because now you're going to have to, on top of healing from what you're going through, you're going to add more to it. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to make the healing even more, you know, and 10 times worse or more intense because now you're done adding more mm-hmm. onto your plate. So definitely don't do it unless you're ready. Because me, on the other hand, by the time I done cut you off, I done mentally already distanced myself. So I'll be ready.
Yeah.
I just need to get over it. But
you're such a fucking Leo.
I mean, I can't help it. I really can't. But everybody don't operate like that. And I understand that.
Because they're not as Leo.
Listen, I mean, I can't help that we've been, you know, distant and, you know, we spacing.
I'm just talking shit. I fuck with Leos because y'all are funny.
I mean, sometimes you can't help.
Yeah, because I'll be like, y'all don't give a shit, but then y'all give all the shits. Like,
sometimes it depends on the person.
I mean, I'm talking about when it comes to me, nigga. Like,
see, that's different. Look, I care about you.
Nah, that's facts.
I'm about to say, I can't say that about everybody. Because if I don't care, I really don't care. And that's sad to say, but that's my sign. Like,
don't blame it on your sign.
Name a Leo that you know that you can honestly say you knew they didn't care and they showed you that otherwise. Like, no, you've never met a Leo that you didn't know.
Wait, stop pressuring me. I'm thinking.
Okay, thanks.
Let me see. Mm-hmm.
Whenever a Leo didn't care, you knew.
Wait a minute now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not that nigga. Oh, no, that bitch was horrible. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Whenever we don't care about something, oh, you don't know we don't care because we're not going to put any attention to it.
I guess it's
every Leo.
Yeah, that is true. You Leos are fucking trash. I'm just playing. Let me stop talking shit. I love you guys.
Shut up. Because Cancer now, we're not going to get on y'all.
Hey, simmer down. Simmer the fuck down. Because you know what's so funny, though? It's so funny. Niggas always want to go to that Cancer shit and be talking shit like, oh, y'all so emotional. Y'all be forgetting that emotional, like emotions, there's not just one, nigga. So
emotions
you have
make you cry sometimes.
Yes, that one thing. You'll cry, but there's also fight, there's mad, there's sexual. Like, I've never met a Cancer or anyone talk about a Cancer who's ever been in love with a Cancer, not say that their sex was not good. And addictive because we're so passionate and we're so
that
emotional. Like, I fuck with my whole being, my nigga. That's why you feel everything. You feel like,
oh, like God just
moved into your body.
We're not about to get into this Cancer versus Leo thing today. We just not. However, you know, we gotta jump into the Let's Talk topic and we gotta get to this. Oh, we just got to get to this interview for today because...
Oh, I'm excited. Yay.
It's everything. It's giving us all the feels. It's everything we need right now to end off this three-part series we got going on. Like it's just everything. We just gonna click play, man. Like, just go and listen.
Go run that shit.
Just please be advised that our neighbor is in his feelings. He is singing I Will Die For You by The Weeknd. So if you hear it... He is screaming it at the top of his lungs. We're like, but he does this at least once a week. So it's like, but why today? Like, we got work to do.
I'm so weak.
He's literally, we had to close the window. He's literally the backyard, like right behind us, screaming The Weeknd. It's just, he is so in his feelings. He's like, who did it?
Oh my God. So that has tickled my soul. Oh, I'm so weak.
I just wanted to let you know. somebody just in his feelings in the background is our neighbor staying in the weekend. He is going through it right now.
Somebody didn't resurrect his Sunday. It's okay.
Oh my God. No. Somebody did not get up for him. He is not having it.
That is hilarious. Oh man. Oh, all right. Whew. We can go ahead and jump right into things. I definitely want to thank y'all for doing this for us today because you are definitely a staple in the game. So I definitely will enjoy talking to y'all. Definitely love the vibe y'all give off. And I know I first saw you guys do an interview with Sex with Baddies when she does her Thursday spotlight. And I was just like,
oh, I love her.
That was so much fun for us. It was one of the first times that we were actually opening up and talking about our personal relationship. Because, you know, with the education, you know this from having your own platform, like giving information to people versus centering yourself within it, is you take yourself out of it. So it's like, even especially when you're talking about pleasure and sex,
right,
or relationships, it's like, I don't want people to think that everything that I talk about is rooted in my own relationships.
Absolutely.
It's where we research and we study and we consider so many things. So it's like, when we talk about pleasure, when we talk about sex and dating and all these things, it's like, we never really talk about us. So being on the hot seat, it was really cool to talk about some of the things that we enjoy as far as intimacy and dating and even our non-monogamy and polyamory as we approach it together and separately, because we came into our relationship non-monogamous.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we already knew
about that. Yeah. So we had some experience. So it was interesting even talking about that and dating and how it's been. So it's even more fun to get to talk about it again. So I'm excited.
That is awesome to hear. Go ahead, Sissy.
I said, now I'm excited. What? I want to know everything. All the stuff.
Yes.
Definitely want to know everything. So, like, in your definition, like, how do you even define polyamory within your own relationship dynamic?
With us. So, you know, polyamory falls under non-monogamy or ethical non-monogamy. And we make the distinction that it's ethical because we acknowledge that even in monogamy, everything's not always ethical.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who don't know what their partners are doing or don't understand what's happening. So, you know, we make the distinction to call it ethical non-monogamy. It's like, hey, everyone who is a part of this thing has consented to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that we came into our relationship both being non-monogamous and specifically polyamorous. I like to, well, do should I explain what ours is?
Go ahead.
Lotus and I, we have a layered relationship because we have our polyamorous dynamic and then we are also kinksters.
Okay.
So we have an openness there, and then we have dominant and submissive dynamics as kinksters, which gives another layer. So we have opened ourselves to relationships on different levels, where in our poly, we have our romantic or sexual partnerships that we're open to. We call them play partners.
Mm-hmm.
We've dated separately. We've also dated a person together. Within our kink dynamic, we are open to play partnerships, and that's for, you know, play in kink and BDSM that can include sex or not include sex. And then in our DS dynamic, I interact with other dominants and submissives, and Lotus interacts with other submissives. Sometimes there's just BDSM and kink play, and sometimes that there's sex. We have opened up ourselves on these different floors of our relationship because we understand that if we're not open in one area, it's probably going to affect the other two.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's like, if there's not, you know, a good foundation within the polyamorous relationship, the kink stuff is going to suffer.
Absolutely.
If there's no trust within the main relationship, you won't be able to really enjoy it, because it's we forget that we're supposed to enjoy relationships, not just have them.
Yes. Absolutely, 100% agree.
Say that again.
Yes.
Like, snap. When you got more than one, what the hell I look like letting four people trust me at once?
Okay. Okay, period.
No, that makes sense.
Like, I tell people, yeah, you experienced a breakup, but like, have you ever had to manage a breakup while managing a happy relationship? Because I've had that, like, you know, me and one partner were good, but I broke up with another partner, and it's like, you have to, your partner has to give you space to feel your feelings, but you also don't want to drain your good thing. Trying to navigate the thing that didn't work out, but you also have to process those feelings. So we talk a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, that is amazing.
And that, honestly, sometimes I was going to say for that communication.
Hours to sort through a thing, because it doesn't just involve us.
Mm-hmm. There's always a bigger picture. And we always say, I want to say almost every episode, we say communication is so important. It's like the key factor in everything. Like, seriously, definitely.
You have to talk. You have to talk. Because if you don't talk, you won't know what's going on. And one of the things we don't like to do is be in our heads. Like, nothing good ever comes from either he or
overthinking
I being
it.
In our head thinking about a thing. It's like, talk to the person who is involved in the problem or the solution or the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our dynamic. Our dynamic is it's kink, it's non-monogamy. Right now, we are not dating anyone together, but we are pursuing relationships separately. We have what would be referred to as kitchen table poly.
Okay.
Which is polyamory, where everyone is cool being around each other. It's not contingent upon sex. There can be sexual interactions, but right now we don't have that. But if I'm FaceTiming naked with one of my other partners, you know, he'll come and say hi.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm friends with one of his romantic partners. So if I'm talking to her on the phone, I'll, you know, swing the camera and ask them if they scheduled any time to talk. I like, and it really varies on your levels of involvement in your poly. Some people don't want to be that involved. I'm comfortable with it. I actually have been the thing with the person I'm friends with is actually kind of new, so it's exciting for me to. I feel like the best poly is the experienced poly, not the theoretical. Because like you can tell yourself, oh yeah, I'd totally be fine in that kind of situation, and the situation happened, you're like, I don't like that.
Right. Until it happens. Right. Exactly. It's totally different living it out. Versus talking it out.
Man, definitely. Like, you don't know what your emotional response will be until it happens. Like
until it happens. Yep.
Jealousy can be experienced on many different levels, and it's triggered by so many different things.
Or you could even think that you're gonna be jealous.
And you're not.
It's like, oh shit, I feel happy that you're enjoying this person's company and that they're treating you well. Right. And then it's just like, ah, shit, like that's something different. I didn't expect that.
And that's compersion. That's a term in non-monogamy.
Yeah.
Tell us about compersion.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing. It's not mandatory in polyamory. I do want to make a note to say that the feeling of compersion.
Yeah.
My love.
People say that it's thought to be the opposite of jealousy and possessiveness. Right?
Ooh.
Because compersion is wholehearted participation in the happiness of others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like you're actually getting pleasure and happiness from seeing someone else be happy.
Yeah. So my personal compersion is twofold, right? I love to see, you know, people like my partner for the same qualities that I like about them.
Absolutely. Yes.
Like, they have good communication. They don't. Like, they're easy to talk to. But also, making it twofold is the fact that one of my kinks is seeing my partner with other people. So I'm getting off actively.
Okay.
With every positive interaction, literally. It's like, I like that because, you know, in kink, we've seen each other have sex with other people. And
right.
In a shared space. I realized that I enjoyed the vanilla, you know, kind of regular interaction just as much. Like, seeing him make time to talk to people in ways that doesn't interfere or make our day hard. Like, hey, I'm going to talk to this person today. Fine, you have space. We don't give time frames. Mm-hmm. But we're conscious. It's like, no, I'm not going to go talk in Jones with somebody standing on my refrigerator.
Right.
So what you would have done is...
Right.
Like, we don't if I had missed you. Like, we don't have stuff to do.
Right.
But also, I want you to make time for someone that you say that you like. And I enjoy seeing those interactions. So I was like, oh, okay. So it's my kink, but also I can apply this to my relationship. This is cute. But yeah. Compersion is not mandatory. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to be that involved in your partner's dating and who they see and wanting to know. You can have, they call them don't ask, don't tell dynamics.
But
to me, sometimes those are not always the most healthy.
Because it's open to a lot of misinterpretation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because there's also still a lack of communication in that dynamic. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
That's really what it is. I couldn't pinpoint why I didn't like it. But yes, because there's still a lack of communication. And also, why don't you want to know?
Exactly.
Why don't you want to see? And if you feel like you're not necessarily prepared for these things, are you really interested in being in this lifestyle? One of my favorite Black run poly pages is Marjani Lane.
Oh, yes.
I love them. And the other day, they posted this joint that was so good. And it was like, you're not really polyamorous. And it gives all these reasons why sometimes people explore polyamory that have nothing to do with wanting to be polyamorous. It's like your partner's cheating a lot. You feel like that's the only way. It's like, oh, you feel like this is the only way that you can be sexually free by being polyamorous. It's like, you don't have to be poly to be sexually free. Go shake your titties wherever you want.
Right.
Absolutely.
No relationship should be the defining factor on your level of wholeness or freedom that you want to experience. Like, I didn't need polyamory to live a pleasure-filled or a pleasure-centered life, but it helped. Absolutely. And I realized a lot of kinksters are non-monogamous because it does give a level of kind of like freedom, space to explore when you have someone who understands and who's likely also doing the exploring that you're doing in whatever, whether it's kink or BDSM or just non-monogamy as a whole. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in kink tend to have multiple partners because you want to experience things with a lot of people.
And everyone doesn't have the same kink.
Right, and everyone doesn't have the same kink. So you can find someone who you really like and maybe they're not into that. So you want to be able to go explore and open yourself up with other people. And isn't that how you found you went to the munch?
Yes, that's actually how I found out that I was mad kinky.
Okay. I need details.
Yes.
It's always interesting to talk about it. I was in a relationship for about a decade, my 20s.
So long.
And we was always having good sex. But we mostly did long distance relationships. So we had to be open for certain parts and different things. So we were trying to learn as much as possible about it. And so I was like, all right, I'm trying to meet Black people who are ethically non-monogamous, who communicate, who do all of these things. I found a meetup and every single person in that meetup was kinky. It was actually a kinky meetup. And they were talking about exploring non-monogamy. And it was just so amazing. Because then I got to ask experienced kinksters about their kinks, right? And then I got to really explore for myself like what I wanted to get into. Like, was I dominant or submissive? Do I like bondage or impact play? And I found out that I was dominant and I loved bondage. I loved impact play. And I have a sensual style of domination. And so that's pretty much how I found it out. But it's like I was exploring this ethical non-monogamy, and then I found out, like, oh shit, this kink shit is real.
We have virtual munches at where we get together with kinksters, and usually they're topical. We try to do them once mm-hmm. a month. So we do like kinksters who love cannabis, kinksters who are poly. But even when we're doing non-poly kinkster meetups, we uh-huh. still tend to find non-monogamous people who are seeking play partners or pleasure partners to explore with. And it's like, wow, these things kind of go hand in hand. But yeah, also, you can be a very monogamous person and date a polyamorous mm-hmm. person as long as you have understanding, preparation,
and
communication. It can work.
Yes, it can.
Definitely dated monogamous people, and they just had to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to work within people's levels of comfort. Like I was telling Lotus yesterday, I was like, the problem is in a lot of relationships, people don't care how yes. others. Yeah. are affected. And I was like, the thing in non-monogamy is you have to care because it's not just you and one other mm-hmm. person. Like there was a time where we were going to break up uh-huh. and we had another partner and we kind of talked amongst ourselves and thinking we were making these decisions. And she had said, you know, like, did anybody consider talking to me since I'm in this relationship as well? It's like, you can't just internalize things and say, well, this is between me and this person. We have to consider that everything we do affects the people around us. And that's not just poly. That's in monogamy too. We should care mm-hmm. about our friends that are affected by some of the decisions that we make. I had an experience that's with one of my friends cheated on her man, but I was friends with her man. So he came to me. It's like, girl, you gotta consider other people. That's But you know, in non-monogamy, we possibly would have another person to consider mm-hmm. on a different level. You know, sometimes if they're in the relationship, then you have those conversations. And if they're not directly within the relationship and more so sexual, you still have to communicate things mm-hmm. to people. It's been an experience. And I personally have explored different kinds of poly, you know, male, female dynamics where I was dating two guys at once, or we did a triad where we were all connected, okay. us and another woman, with the point of connection being Lotus. That was cool. I think so triads are ghetto, but
would not recommend. It's the
hard. It's hard. Like, I'm going to say right here on Bootstrap, that is not the kind of polyamorous dynamic you try straight out the box. Yeah. Don't do it.
Okay. Okay. It's the hardest. That's a don't.
I think you should definitely explore polyamory dating just as a whole, like dating multiple people separately mm-hmm. before you try to bring the different personalities together. It's the equivalent to inviting all your friends to one place and they have different personalities and you're just trying to make it work. It's that. It's like, okay. How do I get all my friends to one birthday party, but you don't know how it's going to play out. Sometimes mm-hmm. you may think that people are compatible and maybe they just aren't. Mm-hmm. And you kind of got to be okay with it and not to feel too bad about it. You know, there's a lot of pressure in polyamory as well, especially for Black people, because uh-huh. everybody wants you to be the blueprint. It's like, but like people break up in monogamy all the time and nobody yes. says it. Y'all leave them alone. Y'all don't say, yes. well, monogamy is the problem. It's like, why is it that when polyamorous people, you know, break up like anybody else would? It's like, it's because of the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not the lifestyle. They was crazy.
Right.
Sometimes it be like that.
It be like that.
That is very true. Sometimes it is like that and people don't understand that the dating dynamic is still the same regardless of how many people you include is yes. still the same. Like, I'm still not going to bond with everybody I meet, you know, and yes. everybody's yes. not going to click. I still have a preference.
It yeah, just like applies to more people. Nerves.
Right.
It happened. Like, yes. oh, that person was annoying. So they had to go. And people were like, you think it's the poly? No, I think they were annoying. I said what I said.
Right. Right. Hey, I 100% agree with that. Definitely. Well, no worries. It's just us. Anyways, I wanted to ask, how did you two meet? Like, how did you two get together? Because I know on the live, I kind of got a story. And I was like, yo, it's so interesting. So I definitely got to tell my nation, like, how did y'all two meet and get started with each other?
Yeah, for
sure. So I was following Lotus Wolf on Instagram because I was trying to get more into rope. And as you know, bro, the representation ain't always there. So
yes,
it was very nice to find a handsome Black guy who did rope, who wasn't being pervy and weird in his content. And I like that I saw that he was tying a lot of Black women, like only Black women at that point. Well, no, only Black women still. He just looked at me and he was like, I ain't never tied nobody up.
No, I have a rope shares.
Oh yeah, the rope shares. But like in his content, he shared Black women, especially full figure Black women in ropes. And I was like, oh shoot, okay. He had one particular set of photos where there was a woman dressed up like Velma.
Yes.
In ropes. And I thought it was so sexy.
Yes.
I want
that. She had glasses, you know, the whole thing. It was so cute. And I was following him and it was pretty cool. Then he was on, I think I found you from the whole phase.
Yes, I was on that podcast.
Yeah, he was on another podcast called The Whole Phase. And I have a massage studio in the same building as where they were recording at the time. Okay. So it was super cool. I was like, oh, wow, I know these girls and this guy is cool. I was dating a couple at the time who were in an open relationship. And they had invited me to a play party.
Okay.
And they originally had somebody else that was supposed to go to them. And play parties vary. So this particular play party was a all black play party run by the Chocolate. We love her.
That's yes, I love her. Yes, absolutely.
Love you, Mr. Smiley. So they were having this event. Now, girl, I was not prepared for this play party shindig, right? And they like asked me on the fly. They were supposed to have somebody else. And I had on like activewear because at the time I was living in Stamford, Connecticut and the party was in New York. So I was just visiting my partners for the weekend and they were supposed to have someone else go. I decided to go. And when we get to this party, my girlfriend at the time did not tell me that it was Halloween themed. So I was mad as hell. All the girls were so cute. You know, they got their latex, all the good things. And I have on sneakers, leggings, and a tank top. I was so through. I was like, you didn't tell me that it was a Halloween theme. And she was like, my bad, but it don't matter. You look nice. And I'm like, whatever.
Right.
We get the house tour and we come back downstairs and we're touring the living room and the hostess is like, all right, you guys can just get comfortable, whatever. And I look across the room and the lights are like all red and sexy. And I see a guy just pulling out ropes out of his bag. He's got like a jean jacket and he's not really dressed in fetwear, but he looks cute. And it was him. And I was like, oh, shoot, that's Lotus Rumpel. And my girlfriend was like, look, it's him. And she runs to him and she hugs him and stuff. And I wasn't nearly as bold. I didn't even say hello.
Oh, man.
I ended up just sitting nearby and just not saying anything. That night, that party was so much fun. He and my girlfriend ended up having... Him and my couple, my partners, had sex. They had a threesome. Okay. And I watched from nearby with some crackers. It was great. I got to see him in action. And then it's so funny because in hindsight, he's like, you know, you should have talked to me. And I was like, when I was going to talk to you, you had come out the bathroom with just the shirt on. Your dick was out. Like, what was I supposed to say to you? And I was sitting and you were standing. Like, what was I supposed to say? Like, how was that conversation supposed to go? And he's like, you could
exactly.
And said, what? Hey, sir, your penis is nice. Hi.
That was right.
That is a great opener.
Given the setting.
So So, you know, we left the party and my partners and I, we had decompressed. We talked about the night. It was cool. And I think I hit him up maybe a couple days later, just saying, you know, hi, and that it was nice meeting him. We did have conversation that night, just in a different way. I was acting as proxy for my partner in during the time of her scenes where she was bound and kind of in a submissive space, just to communicate with Lotus at the time what her limits were, what her boundaries were when she could not. You know, because you're in a state of euphoria.
Right.
And it's nice to have someone who can speak on your behalf and advocate for you. And one of the things that made me really like him was that he didn't let anybody touch her when she was in those vulnerable spaces.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
There was a guy who kind of wanted to jump into their play, and he put his arm in front of her. And he was like, dude, you got to ask her. Like, you can't just jump in here and think you're going to, like, play with people. I think he was literally going for the pussy at this point. He was like, you can't do that. And I liked it a lot because I was ready to go off on this dude. And I didn't even have to, because he was immediately so protective. And that's what safe space
that's
really
so important.
Is.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Like, to see that you do protect people, you do care about their safety when they are not in a position to speak for themselves. That was very good for me. So I hit him up. I was just like, it was good to meet you. He was like, it was good meeting you. And then he was dry as hell.
And the thing is, because people hit you up all the time, especially when you're doing this type of work.
Right.
Right. And I was at a play party fucking in front of a room full of people.
That's very true. Good point. Good point.
And I knew the people that I was fucking, or like,
he had knew my partners because my girlfriend at the time was following him. They had interacted and they were very friendly. And
we had talked about.
Yeah, they had talked about playing. It was me who was meeting him in person for the first time. So he was kind of like, all right, thank you. It was wonderful meeting you. Bye.
Like the traditional sense of, hi, okay, bye. Thank you.
Yeah, it was literally hi, bye. And I was trying to, like, he had been traveling for work. And I was like, oh, you're going to Portland. That's cool. How was your flight? Just trying to strike up regular-ass conversation. And he would have them, but then it wouldn't go beyond that point.
Uh-huh.
So one day I was just like, well, hold on a second. And I put on my best Vicky Secret, and I slid in his DMs with a nice juicy booty selfie.
Yes,
ew.
And he was like, like, shoot your shot, go for it. He literally responded with, "Oh, so here's my number."
Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
and getting to know him, you know, over time, later, over the last couple of years, I realized that he was protecting himself and also protecting me. And I had to be very direct and very clear about what I was interested in and what I wanted in order to get him to respond in that way. And it's also something that's kind of added to our poly, because I trust my partners not out here in the streets, because they barely paid me any attention in the beginning anyway. You know, I'm like, oh, child, he's the curb king. Like, he's like...
But I thought she was cute.
Uh-huh.
Which was funny, because he's like, yeah, but I was looking at your pictures, though. I'm like, but you weren't talking.
Right.
No, that's like, I can look at her like, damn, she has a beautiful smile. I know she probably got some good conversation. Look at her pose. That is nice.
Aww.
But, and it's just like, you got to protect yourself. But yeah, like, we went through that vetting period of really getting to know each other. That was about, what, 6 weeks?
6 weeks. So after I split in his DMs and we exchanged numbers, we talked for about 6 weeks. And at the time, I was purely seeking a dominant, submissive dynamic for BDSM play and sex. And he was like, okay, that's cool. Like, I have the capacity for that. And then we started there. Slowly but surely, just with casual sex and dominant submissive dynamics. Like, I like tasks. I like to have someone hold me accountable for certain things. Like, hey, did you finish those projects? Did you send your emails?
And I love to have support. I love to feel like hey, I really need, what would make my life easier if I have some coffee brewed before this meeting? Or like, can you please steam this for me?
Yeah, preparing his suits for sessions or even simple tasks like, you know, he's in grad school. So, you know, he needed help studying for, what was it?
Accounting.
Yes, and God. Yes.
Yeah. So he does like financial stuff. So I volunteered to make his flashcards and I did about 100 flashcards for him.
Okay.
And
you put in some serious work.
Because, you know, there's different types of submission and mine falls under like service submission, which is not inherently sexual, but it's really receiving pleasure by making people's lives easier. Like I realized I even like to do that for my friends. Like I like to help my friends. Mm-hmm. Just if there's something that you need that I know how to do, let me do it. Let me make your life easy. And if I can't do it, I'm probably able to point you in the direction of someone who can. And it's just about being a resource and feeling valuable. And the gratification is the praise and having it be intentionally recognized. And girls, sometimes just being called a good girl is enough.
Yes.
Like, I love
it. Yes, it stimulates you just a little bit. Yes.
Just a little taste. It's good.
Absolutely. So my last question. So for the listeners who want to get into this lifestyle or are new to things, what's the best advice you can give somebody coming into things for the first time?
Coming in.
Spend some time with yourself.
Yeah, and be open to change. One of the things that fucked me up in my poly was feeling like it was going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
We change what we like as people genuinely as we grow older, as we have more experiences, as we try things. It's like, ooh, I like this. Or I didn't think I was going to...
Let's incorporate this.
Like yesterday, we had sex while I played video games because I wanted to experience... Hey. I wanted to experience passive pleasure where I didn't feel like I had to be directly involved in what was happening, but still enjoy it. And we ended up having such a positive experience. We was both like, well, we need to keep this. We're gonna add this. This is very nice.
Yes. But
understanding that your taste is going to change, your desires are going to change as you meet more people and you experience more kinds of poly. You're going to want different things. So don't, I think the issue comes from the expectation that people who are monogamous put on people who are exploring polyamory. It's like, well, I thought you was with this person. It's like, so, okay, I dated them. Like we
date
regularly.
It's like, so I dated two people and I didn't like either of them.
Right.
If you think it's not hard to, you know, I was telling him yesterday, I said, it's so hard to find regular people to just be loyal and regular with.
Yes.
Let alone to find someone who wants to explore this other stuff that with you that really doesn't have a playbook or a blueprint.
You're vulnerable. It depends on communication and trust.
It depends a lot on trust. You have to trust. Trust yourself and trust the person that you're fucking with, because otherwise you will be looking over your shoulder the entire time. And again, you won't be able to enjoy.
Yes.
The experience or the relationship.
Yeah. I've had other ethical non-monogamous experiences before, but this has been by far the best experience that I've had.
Same.
That's so amazing.
And I think that's what people see when they see our relationship. It's like, oh, you know, you guys are so cool. And I like that. And it's like, girl, it's because we've equally had to kiss some frogs.
Right. And,
you know, we met each other in other relationships that we're not even in anymore.
Yeah.
And have had to support each other through it. So it's like, we've been through stuff and some of the things that we may have thought made sense for our relationship in the beginning, like after every relationship transition, we had to have conversations about how it affected us and how we wanted to move forward. When we were in our triad and we had broken up because our partner moved and didn't want to navigate long distance, we had to come back and sit together. And gosh, it was like maybe 2 weeks of just intense talking about, okay, so these are the things that were in the relationship with the three of us. Mm-hmm. What stays and what goes? And being open to creating, like, polyamory and non-monogamy is like a buffet.
Yes.
It's all the parts that you want and none of the shit that you don't. Be open to it, like really finding platforms like Marjani Lane.
Yes.
Especially if you're a Black non-monogamous.
Sure.
Find other Black non-monogamous. It doesn't necessarily have to be a professional platform, just people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that we're going to make mistakes. You're not going to make everybody happy. And sometimes the pressure of making multiple people unhappy can make you feel like shit. It's fine. You'll get through it. It can drain you. And it can make you feel like you're not good at it. You probably won't be straight out the bat. I started my journey 10 years ago. And this is the best experience that I've had, the most consistent and the most fulfilling. So it's like, it is not going to happen overnight. But if you're open to it and you want and you want it bad enough, it'll happen for you. Like, I feel like that's the only difference between this relationship and any other that I've been. It's like, I really wanted this thing to work. I really wanted to experience love and sensuality and sensuality and pleasure and openness and be myself 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing there's something really awesome about also having the option to be open for real. Enjoy it and explore it. And when you make mistakes, do not beat yourself up.
Yeah.
If you fall out of love with somebody, don't beat yourself up. It happens. Every relationship within these dynamics is not long term.
Yes.
Some of them are short term. And that is one of the keys to having peace.
Yes, it is.
Understanding that maybe this thing was only supposed to last 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. Everything is not going to be forever. You know, being non-monogamous doesn't mean you can't get married. Like, you can still have those things. And especially with Lotus and I both being queer, that also adds more layers, because it's like, you know, in our queerness, being perceived as a hetero couple, just because we're a man and a woman, it's like, you know, who we date and why we date, when we date, you know.
Right.
You sometimes look a certain way to certain people. You can't control how people perceive what it is that you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yes.
True. Don't do it for the people. Do it for yourself. And if it's not working, walk away from that shit.
Because
you'll sour yourself on the polyamorous experience if you are not being honest with yourself. If it doesn't feel good to you, talk about it. If you feel like they don't care enough, or you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, you're feeling a lot of jealousy or any negative feelings, talk about them first. Don't always assume it's because you're insecure. Yeah. Sometimes, and we've learned this, scarcity can bring on negative feelings. If you feel like you're not getting enough attention or not having enough conversations, be prepared to talk about every single thing that you're feeling. Go ahead, Lotus. I know you. He loves to talk to the newbie. He has a heart for the newbie polyamorous person because of his own personal experiences.
Yes. Just a few things I would say to look out for. Like, if you are feeling this, if you can't enjoy your dates with people, your relationship, like, that's a sign that things may not be working out the way that you want it.
And by enjoy, it's like, if you feel like you can't talk to the person that you're trying to explore polyamory with about your experiences with other people because they don't want to hear about it, or they always have something negative to say.
Or they might just be like, I didn't like the fact that you were happy.
Yeah, some people can flat out just say, I didn't like how excited you were that you went and had these experiences with these people.
With someone else.
Or with someone else.
As if that took away something that you had with them. It doesn't.
Yes. You know, one of the things that we would definitely like to leave the Bouchonary family with is that the key to success in this lifestyle is understanding that our worth is not dependent upon our success in relationships at all. And our partners enjoying the company, the love, and the sex others does mm-hmm. not mean that we are not valuable. So my partner going on dates mm-hmm. does not depreciate my value or make me question how loved I am. I
absolutely.
Am so if you have someone and you want to explore this with them, mm-hmm. start with how much you love each other and yes. how excited you are to explore this thing and put your relationship first. If you are someone who wants to explore with someone already, put mm-hmm. your relationship first. I know sometimes people go against hierarchy in mm-hmm. polyamory, but mm-hmm. I am pro hierarchy because I live here with you.
Right.
You know, I'm here with you and we started this journey together. So there's no way that we can disregard each other's feelings at this point. If you are exploring and they call it solo poly, which is mm-hmm. where you put yourself first and you want to go out and date, understand that any interactions you have, any mistakes you make, any experiences you have as a whole does not depreciate your value if you feel like you're not getting it right or you're mm-hmm. not finding the right fit. Mm-hmm. It will come. It will come. And stay positive. Don't let the memes fuck you up. Those,
yes.
I hate that one meme. It's like, I'll be talking about poly. Y'all could probably get your ass beat. You could probably get your ass beat by a poly person if you don't come correct. Like, you know,
yes.
Don't let the memes discourage you. Don't think that you gotta be a sister wife. You don't have to be that connected, but just do you. It's like dating in any other regard,
mm-hmm.
and it can be fun. Your Boobshenary family can always reach out to us.
Yeah.
Definitely let the people know where to find you at, where to reach you guys at.
Absolutely. If you want to contact us to ask us any questions about non-monogamy and get any resources, we love to recommend things specifically for BIPOC kinksters, and we go extra hard for Black kinksters and non-monogamous.
Yes, they do.
We love y'all. We are y'all.
Yeah.
And you can find me at the Goddess Blaine. It's Goddess, GAWDDESS, Blaine, BLANE. And we have Lotus _ Rope Wolf.
Yes, on all
platforms. On all platforms. And we can be reached via email at any of our links. Instagram is just the best way to get access to all of our stuff, like our mailing list. We have upcoming events that are listed on our social media platforms. But one of our most important ones is our upcoming class for vetting for pandemic pleasure partners.
Yes, indeed.
We're not acting like people not fucking in this panty.
Right.
Because they are definitely are.
We are. And, you know, and there's some people who aren't yet, but they are looking to explore. And we mm-hmm. can't beat ourselves up for wanting affection. Some of us and most of us have just been in the house where just going to work for the last year and a half or year and change. And that's work. And not being able to experience hugs and orgasms mm-hmm. that are guided by someone else. So we want to talk about creating vetting processes for meeting people during a pandemic, since we're not necessarily going to like lounges and people are using more dating apps. So we're talking about vetting people virtually, getting all the information that you need, navigating safety as you are meeting people for play or mm-hmm. for meetup, and creating a vetting process so you know how to communicate your needs, wants, and desires, and
you
also
know exactly
your boundaries.
What to do.
Yes, and you know exactly yes. what to do, and also expecting the mistakes, because right. we're always going to make mistakes, and just really trying to transition into this new lifestyle of dating and the pursuit of good sex. That's what
absolutely.
We've got coming up, and that's next. Oh no, that's not next month, y'all. That's this month. That's the end of the month. I just forgot it's April. This month on the 29th. But yeah, and we can't wait to announce to people that we were on the Boobshenary podcast.
Yes, yes right absolutely. I definitely put your classes in my story all day. So definitely,
yes,
definitely be on the lookout.
Thank you.
I definitely want to thank you guys so much for your expertise and dropping gems on this episode. It was much needed. Like, you guys are so much appreciated beyond measure. You just don't know. So definitely thank you for stopping through with Boob Nation and chilling with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
It was so much fun. Have a great day.
You do the same. Thank you guys so much for stopping through. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday for sure.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys.